It's been a really interesting season, but it's been dogged by wet weather for the Auckland Tours, Tara. They've had wet weather problems here in Auckland, of course. They've also had problems with wet weather in Australia too. So it's been touch and go, and you need to have the weather gods smiling on you to progress sometimes. And the Auckland Tour, Tara, managed to qualify for the ABL playoffs on the final day of the regular season. So that set up a date with the Adelaide Giants on the road, and whilst that's where the road ended, there's no doubt plenty to build on for this franchise. Joining us now is their CEO, who does all the groundwork behind the scenes. We've often talked to Steve Mintz's manager, but how about Regan Wood, the CEO? Regan, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, good, man. One of the interesting things we talked to Steve Mintz about was access to your own home ground for practice, and that he was most miffed as he headed into that playoff series at home, that final one at home. Have you been able to resolve the ability to play or practice on your own surface?
Oh, we don't need to because we went to Australia, but look, it is something that, you know, he's used to and they're used to, is you have a home and that's where you practice and you play from. What we're, I guess, from a, you know, New Zealand sports point of view, traditionally thinking is you play at these cathedrals or these wonderful grounds and you practice at the local ground. So that's something that we'll have to look to, you know, to adjust for going forward to next year. And look, the weather just knocked everyone around. That was the unfortunate thing, that the weather, as you pointed out, it just impacted everybody, and everyone was trying their hardest. You know, before that first series against Sydney, the Field Turf guys were there, and they said, right, if anyone, this is the morning off, and they said, if it rains again, you know, you won't be able to play. So it all of a sudden starts raining, and I'm like, I can't watch this. So I go off and have a coffee, come back, and Mark goes, right, guys, if anyone steps on the turf, ask me, is it going to be ready? I'm going to yell at them. So keep everyone away, please. I'll get you ready. You'll be playing tonight at 7 o'clock. And sure enough, the field was ready, and 7 o'clock we played and we started. And then by Sunday, you know, we had our first rain out. So away it went all year. So, look, everyone was frustrated, and because baseball players want to play baseball. Coaches want to coach baseball. The administrators want to sell tickets, want to build a career. But, no, we faced a pretty tough year, and here I am. I'm just got Matt Feinstein, who's heading home to New York, and it's a little cooler over there, but he can't believe the amount of rain that we have down this part of the world.
Oh, okay. Well, a bid farewell to Matt on our behalf, I'm sure. Listen, a lot of your, and that's the thing you deal with, a lot of your input comes from overseas, Regan, and it's your part to try and put the whole thing together. Even before we look back at the end of this season, how's next season looking in that regard in terms of retention of staff?
Look, we'll sit down today. I've got a with the board, and Mincy will give his sort of, you know, review of that stuff, and then we'll decide, you know, who wants to come back, who doesn't want to come back, you know, who's tired, who wants 3 months time off, and away we go from there. So, look, we wouldn't want to change our team. I think, you know, yeah, you'd like another pitcher and probably another hitter, but in the scheme of things, there wasn't one individual with players that you'd want to change. You like some more personalities, but we'll want baseball players as well. So sometimes, you know, having the class clown and them hitting under 200 doesn't work. So it was interesting. So we've already canvassed some of the fans, and they're like, oh, yeah, but last time you had Sussnuts. I said, last time we played 20 games at home. This time, I said, we played 12. Are you kidding me? You know, so, oh, yeah, good point. Oh, we just didn't really get to know people. And I'm like, because they weren't here. You know, we didn't get to play. Oh, yeah, good point. So we've also reviewed some of the numbers, you know, and when you look at the percentages, we are a significantly better team this year than we were 3 years ago when we played pre-COVID. But going back to your question, is retention of staff, retention of players, well, that's something that we'll start working on over the next few weeks. But, you know, I think everyone will get invited back, whether they choose to come back because their life's changed or their organisations that we've changed. But, feel very grateful for the players that contributed to Otago this year.
When you sit down in that board meeting coming up later on in the piece, do you think the feeling within the board will be a pretty good one? I mean, in terms of the start of the season, you set your goal on making the playoffs, you achieved that. Is that, do you think, pretty satisfying from a board point of view?
Well, yeah, look, absolutely. So if you think about it, you know, on field, you know, you'd have to give us a B plus. You know, an A or an A plus is winning it all. You know, off the field, I think we're a little disappointed with some of those things, but that was more, I think, more to, you know, the weather impacting, because, you know, because the size of our stadium, it's not like we've only got 1,500 seats which you can sell out and people are desperate to get a ticket. People in Auckland can look at it and go, oh, well, if the sun's shining, yeah, I'll go tomorrow or I'll go today. So I guess that's where we're very lucky. On one hand, we have this beautiful stadium, and then we're sort of penalised on the sheer size of that stadium. But yeah, the board, you know, and the ownership are very happy with what we achieved. I think, you know, if you actually looked at it, you would go, if we had won that first game, we were leading. We just needed six outs to go. We had the right guy, the right place. It was all planned. If you were a betting man, you would be betting on us the outcome that we'd win it. And I think if we won that game, we would then have gone and won the whole thing, because that momentum then would have fired you up and you'd rolled through it. Saying that, weather came out and it rained in Adelaide. I think the first time in 100 years or something. It rained in January. But we Saturday, we had to sit one out. So that's why we ended up playing the doubleheader on Sunday. And the doubleheader, I don't think we won the doubleheader. I think we split them all year, really. Very tough to take those two wins. So, yeah, there it is. Yeah, it's from an ownership point of view, a board, yeah, I think they'll be very happy on the on-field stuff.
Right, in terms of the Tuatara brand, which of course is really right in your wheelhouse, as they say, obviously making the playoffs, that helps to expand that. How do you think it's viewed in the Auckland and around the baseball fraternity?
Oh, look, I don't know. I think they'll be, you know, pretty pleased that their team made the playoffs. You know, that in itself, you know, is what it's all about. And then the club, you know, your season starts again. I'm sure there'll be some people going, yeah, why didn't we win it? There'll be some people have their 5 cents in, you know, why didn't we do this? Why didn't we do that? Blah, blah, blah. But I think they would be happy, but I guess we will know after we've done our bit and go and speak to that community and go, right, you know, what did you guys like? What do you think? I mean, one of the great things we did was they would come early, they would help us with our stuff, and they would come and they would sit in the dugout with Mincy and Braggs and everybody else. So that became quite a good, I guess, well, it was involved from that community, and they got the opportunity from, imagine, a little league, an under-12 coach gets to sit alongside, you know, professional players and professional coaches. And some of those players, we believe, will go on and play in the major league. So yeah, great opportunity. I think we did some really good things.
Okay. One of the interesting things that you've got to, I guess, do as well is make sure the game grows from a local point of view. So quite a lot of your staff comes in from the outside, pitching staff, etc., coaching staff. What about the growth locally, and are you happy with the way it's perceived and you know, the playing strength that you've got from your local staff?
Yeah, look, I think one of the changes that we'll look to add next year is have some local coaches, you know, with a view of developing that. And this is where, you know, professional sport versus amateur grassroots sport, sometimes, you know, they're opposed, because the professional sport, you know, needs the outcomes to be successful, and grassroots is all about growing the game. But I think we have a responsibility also to help grow and improve. And so from our point of view, I think we will look to, maybe we'll still be bringing in that outside help. I think it's really important, but we'll also look to have, you know, one or two New Zealand coaches where applicable, and also, but appreciating that for them, there's a whole learning experience for them. So it'll be a matter of finding the right people, you know, their team fit, their culture fit, and then sort of layering over that. And you know, and that may be local baseball coaches, there may be a cricket coach, and maybe someone a little bit different that you have a view of and go, well, where are they going to be in 5 years' time? You know, it might even be someone from softball, for instance. And I did reach out to those guys and said, look, you know, here's an opportunity to be around a professional organisation. If any of you guys want to come and have a look, you should come and have a look, because it's just a different way of doing things, you know, from where the manager is to the hitting coach. The hitting coach makes decisions on, you know, where this player is based on 40 games. You know, yes, they may be limited by their approach, and physically limited, they may not be a major leaguer, but can they help us out in the ABL? What decisions? What do you tinker with? So some pretty fascinating stuff that goes on around that. But, yeah, we have a responsibility to grow the game, so I think the Tuatara is that shop window. I mean, without the Tuatara, I don't think you'd be ringing me or ringing anyone to find out how club baseball went in Auckland. So Tuatara are very important, but also we have a responsibility to help that community and grow that community.
I agree with that. We probably wouldn't be. You're dead right. Adelaide and Perth, of course, battle it out for the Claxton Shield. Of those two franchises, who do you think may well take it out?
I think I'd go with Perth. They've got a little bit of momentum. Adelaide possibly played their best baseball. They went on a 12-game winning streak. They went out and bought more players towards the end of the season. Very important for them to win the Claxton Shield. But, you know, Dylan Unsworth was the pitcher they went and grabbed, and you'd be staggered on what they've done for him. But good, really good pitcher, but, you know, our guys matched up well, and we actually took the win. Yeah, we won that game 2-0. So Perth at home, Thursday night. I really like Perth. I think they will beat Adelaide. If I was going to gamble on it, I'd go to Perth. We predicted Perth would beat Brisbane, simply because of the momentum and where it was going. We would like our chances. As I said, if we'd won that game one, we had that lead, I would like our chances to bring home this Claxton Shield, which I've never seen, but it's a big shield that everyone gets pretty excited about.
Well, Regan, of course, in your role, you have a chance later today and for a little while, I guess, to review the baseball side of things, but I would imagine you've already put the basketball hat on as well already, with the NBL season not too far away. How are arrangements coming along in that side of things?
Yeah, pretty good. So Dale Budge has been, and Aaron have been sort of talking. The important thing was for us, you know, Tuatara culture, what it is. Yeah, it's winning, but it's also community. It's about being good people, respecting the game, blah, 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 blah. Because we're very privileged to be in sport and professional sport, very privileged. And so we've had a lot of offers of players wanting to join us. We've had players that are prepared to take a reduced salary to join us. So I've had to sort of basically, you know, encourage the team just to take their time. We don't have to sign everyone on day one. We can take our time and basically work our way through the players that we've got. Point guard is one of those areas that everybody wants, and we did have a player out of Australia who agreed, but another team managed to come up some more money, and he's gone there. So that'll be good. I think the league will be better this year. I kind of like some of the players that are already committed to us. And I think we'll be competitive. Our biggest issue is Event Finder Stadium was under about a foot of water on Friday. So hopefully, fingers crossed, there wasn't too much damage. Otherwise, not only are we looking for some players, we're looking for a new home.
Yeah, that will be interesting to see. And a lot of Auckland sporting venues under pressure in that regard. When it comes to the basketball side of things, we know how wide you spread your net for baseball. Do you spread the net equally wide for basketball?
Well, no, you don't really need to, because you've got a lot of schools in New Zealand or in Australia. So you have the players. So, you know, you're going to make that up of, you know, your starting five and who's coming off the bench, some of your amateur players. Because, you know, part of the Tuatara is we see ourselves as a community team. So the likes of Charlie Dalton, those are young guys that are going to go to college. So when we had Dante last year, you know, he's a young amateur player. He gets to play with Rob Lowe and Chris Johnson, which from a college point of view, that is applauded, because they can look it up and go, okay, he's playing against professional, he's playing against men. This is very good development for this young man. So we'll throw a few of those guys in, you know, with Tom Beattie and so forth. We don't have to go too far because there's so much talent in New Zealand. I mean, basketball's done a great job of growing the sport in New Zealand. you know, you could argue if they done it, you know, through great planning, Greek resource, or has it just happened organically? And I don't know the answer to that. But we don't have to have those relationships that we do with the San Diego Padres, and the Rangers, the Baltimore Orioles and stuff. Because baseball is very different, because you have that major league team where you get a minimum of $7,000 a day to play, plus you're on chartered flights and everything else, to all the way down to minor league baseball. And the guys playing minor league baseball, it's about doing their friendship, it's about grinding, it's about getting better every day to get that opportunity. Where basketball, it's college and it's NBA, or you're playing somewhere else. So, you know, it's a different model. So we don't necessarily need to have those. We have different relationships, and those relationships fit squarely in New Zealand because there's so much talent around. And that's been young men that have gone off to college in America wanting to come back for that opportunity, or they've been professionals and they may have played in Australia, they may have played in Israel, they may have played, you know, in Germany and so forth. So, yeah, we don't have to go too far. The league here in New Zealand, it has a maximum of three imports. I think it works really well. And I think, you know, a great example of that last year was when Manawatu rolled us. You know, we're not too far from the finals, and Manawatu beat us at home. And that was magic for them. I didn't enjoy it. I was there watching it. But it was great for basketball. It was great for the league. So, yeah, I think they've got the model. You know, I like the model in New Zealand because you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to bring in a whole lot of imports if you don't need to, because you can get players around. We're very lucky in Auckland because, you know, this is the nursery ground for basketball. You know, there's a lot of players in Auckland.
Always great catching up with you, Regan. All the best with your preparations, getting Aaron Young back from his stint with the Melbourne United and getting your teeth into things. We're all pretty excited about it. All the best. Go well, and we'll catch up again shortly. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Cheers. Regan Wood there, of course, who is the CEO of the Auckland Tuatara franchises. I say that label, that's his. He's responsible for both of them. So very busy man there, and even dropping people back at the airport, etc. That's what he's all about in a day-to-day proposition, and he's a busy man. So that's exciting. Heck of an exhilarating job, particularly when the sun shines and your stadiums don't flood, I would imagine. 11:21 here on SENZ.